temperature. I move the sun to the west, and as the angle of the light shifts, the dewdrops on the seedlings in the field glisten like countless eyes suddenly popping open. I dim the sun so that dusk arrives earlier. Then I stare at the silhouette of myself on the distant horizon, in front of the setting sun. I wave at the silhouette. The silhouette waves back. Looking at the shadow of myself, I feel young again. This is a lovely time, just right for remembering. Part 1. May, 1453 CE. The Death of the Magician. Pausing to collect himself, Constantine the 11th pushed away the pile of city defense maps in front of him, pulled his purple robe tighter, and waited. His sense of time was very accurate. The tremor came the moment he expected it, a powerful, violent quake that seemed to originate from deep within the earth. The vibrating silver candelabra hummed, and a wisp of dust that had sat on top of the great palace for perhaps 1,000 years fell down and drifted into the candle flames, where the motes exploded in tiny sparks. Every 3 hours, the time it took the Ottomans to reload one of the monstrous bombards designed by the engineer Orban, 1,200-pound stone balls battered the walls of Constantinople. These were the world's strongest walls. First built by Theodosius II during the 5th century, they had been continually reinforced and expanded, and were the main reason that the Byzantine court had survived so many powerful enemies. But the giant stone balls now gouged openings into the walls with each strike, like the bite of an invisible giant. The emperor could imagine the scene. While the debris from the explosion filled the air, countless soldiers and citizens rushed onto the fresh wound in the walls like a swarm of brave ants under a sky full of dust. They filled in the break with whatever was at hand, bits and pieces taken from other buildings in the city, flaxen cloth bags of earth, expensive Arabic carpets. He could even imagine the cloud of dust, steeped in the light of the setting sun, drifting slowly toward Constantinople like a golden shroud. During the 5 weeks the city had been under siege, these tremors had come 7 times a day, spaced as regularly as the strokes of some colossal clock. This was the time and rhythm of another world, the time of heathens. Compared to these tremors, the ringing of the double-headed eagle copper clock in the corner that represented the time of Christendom seemed feeble. The tremors subsided. After a while, and with an effort, Emperor Constantine pulled his thoughts back to the reality before him. He gestured to let the guard know that he was ready for his visitor. Francis, one of the emperor's most trusted ministers, came in with a slender, frail figure trailing close behind. "This is Helena." Francis stepped aside, revealing the woman. The emperor looked at her. The noble women of Constantinople tended to favor clothes bedecked with elaborate decorative elements, while the commoners wore plain, shapeless white garments that draped to the ankles. But this Helena seemed a combination of both. Instead of a tunic embroidered with gold thread, she wore a commoner's white dress, but over it, she draped a luxurious cloak. However, instead of the purple and red reserved for the nobility, the cloak was dyed yellow. Her face was enchanting and sensual, bringing to mind a flower that would rather rot in adoration than fade in solitude. A prostitute, probably one who did rather well for herself. Her body trembled. She kept her eyes lowered, but the emperor noticed that they held a feverish glow, hinting at an excitement and